This is County Close Up, news from Halliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
So the main problem we needed to identify is it was identified in Potash Lakes Management Plan from 2004. Potash Lakes located just south of Bancroft and is on the Canadian Shield. And our partner Potash Lake Conservation Association was established in 1973. They identified light pollution as a concern, and they identified both ecological and atmospheric light pollution, which is those two things affecting insects and other wildlife, as well as atmospheric light pollution, which is that sky glow issue a lot of people experience when they can't see the stars at night.
The outdoor lights we use at our homes or cottages have very real impacts on the food web, particularly on insect behavior. That was the conclusion drawn from a research project conducted and presented as part of the recent ULINC Celebration of Research. Trent University's Environment and Life Sciences master's candidate Ella Honey and Angus McBride presented their findings to a virtual audience, which included environmental groups, interested local residents, and members of the media. The research to determine how different color temperature lights influence insect life and to what extent began last fall through the ULINC Center for Community-Based Research, when the Potash Lake Conservation Association requested a study be conducted. ULINC is a project of the Halliburton County Community Cooperative and is supported by Trent University, Fleming College, the Township of Minden Hills, and other community partners.
That's when we started. We started, I think, in the last few weeks of August, going out to cottage properties out at Potash Lake and kind of between probably 8 to 2 in the morning, depending on the day, we were out looking at lights and looking at bugs. And basically what we were doing is having kind of a light trap set up. Like, you just basically plug a light bulb into an outlet and then see what bugs kind of come around. And we were looking at 4 different colors of light, or 4 different colors of white light, and ranging from kind of a warm white as they're put on the box to like a cooler white temperature. And so those kind of range from, I think, 27,000 Kelvin to 6,500 Kelvin. That's how they measure it. But anyways, we were out there for, I think, 4 different sampling events. 2 of them happened in late August and 2 of them happened in September.
So what did the researchers discover? Cool blue lights disrupt insects and bats' ability to hunt for food, while warmer light, especially if directed downward, causes far fewer issues. And Honey says humans are similarly impacted by light temperature.
So that was like the main point that we were looking at, is does the warmer light attract fewer insects, which is better for the broader ecosystem? Not only does it provide more food, but there's also less impact kind of on other animal behavior. Because animals will start to kind of congregate at the light because there's food sources there. And then you're having more kind of wildlife-human interactions. And then it's also disrupting those animals' natural hunting cycles and sleep cycles and things like that. And then one specific example we had found was bats actually, even though it seems that they might have an easier time kind of gathering at these light sources to, you know, it's all of the insects are gathered at one point. They need the darkness to hunt. And that's kind of like a lot of other predator species need that darkness at night for their hunting strategies. So then suddenly they're finding prey in highly lit areas, and they're, even though the prey is there, they can't actually catch them. So it's kind of like both of those things. It's removing them from the wider ecosystem, but it's also affecting the way the interactions in the ecosystem are happening. This wasn't specifically in the scope of our study, but we looked into some wider light pollution research, and those warmer lights are actually, as you were saying, you just like to be around the warm lights. They're actually better for human health as well, because that blue light is very similar to daylight cycles, and that's kind of like daylight wavelengths of light, and that's what's impacting those animals as well, because they're kind of perceiving it as a source of daylight. So that's why, specifically why moths, if there's a light source, they kind of fly around it and they get disoriented because they're trying to orient the back of themselves to the light as if it's the sun. That's kind of how they use things to orient themselves. So then with humans, we also perceive blue light as daylight, and it messes up your circadian rhythms and your sleep cycles. And, you know, it's the same thing with staring at a computer or a phone for too long before you go to bed. It's that blue light that's directly affecting you.
Unlike other research projects that stay within the confines of academic audiences, Honey and McBride hope their project findings will be utilized by the public. McBride says the problem is a lack of awareness and confusion surrounding what's available on the market.
We're focused on kind of the warmer wavelength, the warm light, and kind of a problem potentially is that people don't know what they're buying and people don't know really how to buy a warm light or what kind of the proper steps are for that. And so Elle actually created a pamphlet of sorts that will be distributed to PLCA and I think will be made available as well to few folks who are interested on the ULINC Celebration of Research call. It kind of tells you, here's the issue with cooler colored lights, here's what we've found, and here's how you can kind of make a difference in terms of that light selection.
Both Honey and McBride appreciated that the research project came directly from community interest. Besides the ULINC Celebration of Research event, the two also made a presentation to Environment Halliburton recently.
Every little piece of science builds the puzzle together, but then this was a nice little kind of piece that people could find and understand on its own. So that was something that I really enjoyed about it. And now, obviously, going on to my master's, where I'm going to be doing a little bit more of that far off distant research that people might not even understand, I'm glad to have these skills, kind of taking something that is, even though it might be a different kind of focus, taking something scientific and communicating it to the broader public kind of in this nice package that's understandable and in language that makes sense for most people, in kind of ideas that make it meaningful for people. So it was kind of nice to have that experience. That's one thing I really enjoyed and I took away from this is it's also nice to hear what people think about science, because in academia, you know, you're always surrounded by other students and professors and you kind of get into this bubble. So doing the presentation and getting questions from the audience, and then again with the Environment Halliburton thing, people have interesting ideas and interesting things to say and questions. And I think it's really important to have that reciprocal relationship where you're getting what people care about and also providing information.
The researchers say beyond choosing warm lighting, there are other things you can do to limit artificial light pollution, including using downward directional lighting, timers, and motion sensor lighting.
We've touched on like warm lights and how you can reduce insect attraction through that means, but really that's an extra step beyond just not using your lights when you don't have to be using your lights. So first and foremost, kind of the way to reduce attraction of insects and reduce the impact you're having on the environment is to limit the output of light that you have. So limit your use of light and limit where that light is going. So using kind of things like directional lighting, where the lighting is facing down, not going up, and it's not going out into the environment. That's one good for the ecosystem because it's not going around and attracting those bugs and attracting those mammals or amphibians from longer distances. It's staying localized and it's useful to you. And two, it's not going up into the atmosphere and creating that sky glow and impeding the stars. And somebody in our presentation to Environment Halliburton asked about, oh, what about indoor lights? Is closing my blinds a good way to reduce my output to indoor light? And yes, it is. It's like closing your blinds to reduce the sun coming in when it's really, really hot in the summer.
For more information or to watch the presentation and the others featured in this year's ULINC Celebration of Research, visit www.ulincs.ca/celebrationofresearch.html. To limit your home's output of light, you can also check out Dark Sky International at darksky.org. County Close Up is made possible through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. You can find more stories from Halliburton County on canoefm.com and frequencynews.ca. This is Elizabeth Oakley for County Close Up.